John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Aika is here? Okay.
ヨハネによる福音書3章16節、神は実にその一人子をお与えになったほどに要愛された。それは御子を信じる者が一人として滅びることなく永遠の命を持つためである。
And Pastor Aki's sermon today, the message title is The Father's Love, Give, Invite, and Sacrifice.
Morning.
Good morning.
So it's Thanksgiving week already. How many of you are planning to go shopping Black Friday? I think it's Black Thursday now, right? They changed it a little bit.
Yeah,
8 p.m.
Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. So Phil knows. Phil, you're going to go shopping?
Yeah, I'd have somebody taking my place.
One thing that won't be on sale this Thursday is Twinkies. I don't know if you guys heard. Hostess is going out of business, and so there will be no more Twinkies. I looked on eBay, and Twinkies are going for like $30 a box, something like that. It's really expensive right now. I always joke and say if I could go back in time, I'd invest in Yahoo. If I could go back a month, I'd invest in buying Twinkies. Those things are going like hotcakes. Today I want to talk about sacrifice. And this is a series from John 3:16, which is perhaps one of the most famous passages in, at least in America. You see a lot of signs that say John 3:16 if you go to any kind of event. And it's about giving. It's about inviting, and it's about sacrificing. It's about God's love. And last week I spoke about inviting, and the week before that I spoke about giving. And these are forms of love, expressions of love. And as a child, we know how important it is to give, and we know how loving it is when we receive. I remember as a little kid, I would always get the same Christmas gift as my brothers from my parents. We'd get the same Nike shoes, we'd get the same clothes, we'd get the same socks. And the reason why is if my brother got something more expensive, I would know that my parents didn't love me as much as they loved my brothers, and so I'd throw a fit. And I believe first graders, they learn to give, right? That's one of the things they learn as a kid. They learn to share. And giving is a form of loving, and we know that instinctively as a child. As you grow older, become adolescent, inviting becomes a new thing in your life, right? Because as a kid, you're invited to everything. It doesn't matter. Whether you're a cool kid or if you're not a cool kid, you're invited to birthday parties, you're invited to everything. As an adolescent, it's not the case anymore. And I shared how I remember the first invitation I got to a birthday party. It was from a girl, and she was one of the cute girls. And I thought she liked me, because it was the first invitation I ever got. Turned out all the boys on my basketball team were invited, and so it had nothing to do with my good looks. And today I want to talk about sacrifice. And sacrifice is something we learn as we get older, I believe. I believe it's one of the most mature types of love, is to sacrifice. You know, as a kid growing up, I didn't know all the sacrifice that was put in to raising me from my parents, right? You know, for some of you, go back many years. And to your first kid, and I know some of you don't have children yet, but as a parent, When you have your first child, you realize all the sacrifice your parents put into you, right? I mean, I don't have a kid, so I'm just, I may be just making this up. Is that right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Phil's a grandparent now. So when you had Mika, you were like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I put Jenny through all that hell. So, you know, it's a type of maturing kind of love that you don't really get until you go through it kind of thing. And parenting is one of the greatest example of sacrificial love. I'm 35 now. Am I 35? I'm 35
now.
Wow. I'm 35 now. And I have quite a few friends that have kids. You know, this is just last couple of weekends ago, I went to a baby shower. And I saw a childhood friend, a friend I grew up with, and he just had twins not too long ago, about a year ago, he had twins. And this is the first time I saw him with his twins at this baby shower. And I could see in his eyes just the sacrifice he's been putting in raising it scared me. Amen. I believe that too. I believe it's a blessing. But again, sacrifice is one of those things that we might not know as much as we think we know. But you know, as a kid growing up, I think there's something about sacrifice, even as a little child, that we know. That is a great form of love. Now I remember, I think I was in junior high, and I was watching an anime with my brothers. I have two older brothers, and actually my friend was there that day. And we were watching Dragon Ball. You guys familiar with Dragon Ball? Some of you are, some of you aren't. It's okay. Let me try to paint the scene. So in Dragon Ball, there's a hero with supernatural strength, superhero kind of like a Superman. His name is Goku, and he had a child. And his child was taken from Goku's arch enemy Piccolo. His name is Piccolo. And Piccolo took Goku's only child, and he took him to train him to fight. And the reason why he trained him to fight, because even though Goku and Piccolo, their arch enemy, Goku is good, Piccolo is evil. Even though Piccolo was evil, there was another evil alien being that was coming to destroy the earth, and he knew he needed to train Goku's son to fight in order to save the world kind of thing. Eventually this evil enemy comes to Earth and they start fighting, and by this time Piccolo, even though he's evil, there is redemptive characteristics in this man. He was tough in training Goku's son, and they're fighting to save the planet. But this evil alien being is a lot stronger than Piccolo and the sun and the other people trying to save the earth. And there's, you guys know what scene I'm talking about? Shake your heads. Yes. No. Not nobody. One person. Yes. Thank you. If as long as I connect with one person, it's going to be all worth it. And so they're fighting. I'm in junior high, and I'm with my brothers, and this is, you know, we love this kind of stuff. This is what we lived for. I was not a Christian then. Even if I was Christian, I'd love that kind of stuff. But they were fighting, and it was going back and forth, but the alien being is just so strong. They were overpowering the group that was trying to save the earth and save the world. And there was a scene where finally the evil alien being throws like a fireball to kill the son, Goku's son named Gohan. And the fireball is coming, and it's in slow motion. And this, the evil arch enemy of Goku, who trained the son, even though he's evil, he goes in front of the fireball. Now you guys know that scene? It is a famous scene. It is an epic scene. And he goes in front of the fireball, and he takes the fireball, and he saves the sun. And it was like, oh my gosh. And as a junior high kid, the tears could not stop flowing. And you know, my brothers are there, and the last thing you want to do in front of your brothers is cry, right? But they're there, my friend is there, but I couldn't stop crying. And there's something about sacrifice that moves the human soul, I believe. And we see it all the time. We see sacrifice happen all the time. It happens all around us, but just like a kid, a child who has loving parents don't realize it, I believe a lot of times we don't realize it's happening all around us. And as we come to John 3:16, let me read it again. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The giving, God gave his Son. And we know how important that is. The invitation, here it is, the invitation that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but there's an invitation to have eternal life. And that eternal life, it's an invitation to be from a slave to a son. That is the invitation. It is an invitation to come from a slave and become a son. An adopted son. It's an invitation from becoming a pauper to a prince. And last week, like I said, it's an invitation of from becoming a caterpillar to a butterfly. The invitation of eternal life. And we see this, and we might look at the verse and say, where's the sacrifice? The sacrifice is in this. For God so loved the world. That word love, most of you know, but that word love in the Greek is agapao, which comes from agape, which the closest translation to agape is an unconditional love. It is a love by choice and by an act of the will, and it seeks only the highest good. It was this love that compelled God to send his one and only beloved Son to die for us so that we may have eternal life. And God is love, and the reason why he had to send his Son is because God is just. He is both love and just. And in Romans 6:23 it says this about us. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." In God's justice, he couldn't overlook the price of sin. The penalty of sin. In God's justice, he couldn't just say, "Okay, I love you, all of you come and be my children. All of you come and inherit eternal life." Although God would want that, God does not want anyone to perish. In his justice, he needed a way to pay for the sin and debt that we incurred. You know, eternal life is free. It says in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. And a gift is free, right? It is Christmas, and I would like to have a lot of gifts. And I'm sure all of you would like to have a lot of gifts, but the older you get, the less gifts you get, it seems like. A gift is free, though. But just because it's free doesn't mean it didn't cost something. And what it costs was Jesus' life. Our death and our sin were too expensive for you and I to pay. And God realized that. It was too costly. The only thing that was worth, that had enough value to pay off this debt, according to Scripture, was only the precious blood of Jesus. And that was the sacrifice God made for us. Romans 5, 6, 8 puts it this way. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Jesus sacrificed His Son for us. And for those who receive the invitation to enter into eternal life, the benefits are too much to even count. But today I don't want to talk about the benefits of eternal life. And that'll be for a later sermon. I love talking about the benefits of eternal life. Don't get me wrong. You know, and for anyone who received the invitation to receive the gift of God, eternal life through Christ Jesus, it's available to you. And let me tell you, the benefits are not just in eternity, but here today for us, right now. Amen. It is both here and forevermore. That's how powerful and valuable the precious blood of Jesus is. Amen. But today I want to talk about the sacrifice. I believe Christians, or any of us who fail to see sacrifice, is like a son or daughter who fails to see the sacrifice that was put in to being raised. I remember when I first became a Christian, and we were talking about God's love. I was at church. We were talking about God's love, and we went to this passage in Luke 7. I'll read in just a bit, but in this passage it says, "Those who have sin much have been forgiven much," or "those who have been forgiven much loves much." That's how the passage goes. "Those who have been forgiven much loves much," and we'll look at the passage. But as we were talking about this, I blurted it out and said, "I wish I would have sinned more." You know, because the passage is, "Those who have been forgiven much loves much." And so I was a new Christian, and before becoming a Christian, I didn't see myself as overtly evil. You know, I mean, I did bad things, but it's not like I was a murderer, or it's not like I stole, or it's not like I was a compulsive liar. There was nothing that would say, "Oh my gosh, I regret my life so much." There was nothing like that in me at that time. And so when we came to this passage where it says, "Those who has been forgiven much loves much," I said, maybe that's why I don't love much. It's because I haven't been forgiven much. I wish I would have sinned more. You know, those words, "I wish I would have sinned more," came out of my mouth, and the pastor kind of got irritated. That's how I felt. But the thing is, and let's turn to that passage. It's in Luke. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 7, from verse 37. Luke 7:37. Let me read. Actually, it starts from verse 36. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with them, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarius and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered have not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this that who forgives sins? And so he says, let me read 47. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And you know, as an immature believer, going through life, I felt, you know, I was a good person. And so I felt, you know, I've been forgiven little, so I loved little. But what I fail to see, and what I believe many of us, if we live life thinking, I'm not that bad of a person, and I think all of us, we go through that. And sometimes we go through that a lot. But when we go through something like that, I'm not that bad of a person, we get into this forgiven little, loves little kind of state. And when we see sin, but when we see sin for what it really is, and that we are all sinners, the scripture is clear, it says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, it doesn't matter how much you sinned, because the saying goes, you're a sinner not because you sin, but you sin because you're a sinner. Did you get that? We're not sinners because we sin, but we sin because that's in our nature. And scripture is clear, it says, all are sin, all have sinned. We have all played a part in the death of Jesus Christ. We are all responsible for death of an innocent person. And when we see sin for what it really is, I believe the immaturity begins to wipe away. And if we see it, and if we have spiritual eyes to see, there will be such gratitude, appreciation, thanksgiving. Just as a newborn parent, when they have their kid and they have their child, there is just a greater sense of awareness, of ability to see, and therefore gratitude, thanksgiving, appreciation, and a desire to sacrifice. right? What good parent doesn't sacrifice for their children? And what good parent, after seeing that, does not have just so much more gratitude and appreciation for their own parents? As we, when we grow spiritually, and if we have eyes to see, and if we see just the sin in our own lives, the awareness of it, there will be so much gratitude and praise that we cannot stop but enter into His courts, enter into His gates. And like this woman who has been forgiven much, would not want to sacrifice for God. It's not like, oh, I have to sacrifice this. How can I sacrifice? And for us, the maturity, you know, we give, we invite, but as we mature in Christ and we see the penalty, the seriousness of sin and Christ's sacrifice, I believe the natural response is for us to sacrifice for God. And so this week I hope you have great times with family and friends, and just a greater appreciation, not just for your family and friend, but a greater appreciation for God who has given His Son for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy. And Lord, I do pray that You would open my eyes and that You would bring me out of spiritual immaturity and that You would just, Lord, allow me to see and own up to my own shortcomings and to accept with such gratitude Your gift, Lord, Your gift of eternal life, Your Son Jesus Christ. Father, I do want to live in such gratefulness and thanksgiving, Lord, for Your sacrifice. We thank You so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.